the amazing Barrington Irving, at the age of 23 years old. You circumnavigated the globe in an airplane that you built. That's like stupid crazy.
It is stupid crazy. And my mom probably has even better words to use.
Hi, this is Kathy Joe with Aviation Center of Excellence, and this is Aviation Uncovered, a podcast dedicated to uncovering insightful conversations, expert advice, and powerful stories, all from people who love aviation. Today, this episode is going to be about the future workforce in aviation and how we can create passion and ignite that spark with the younger generation and get them to not only step into aviation, but to stay in aviation and make this a lifelong career. My guest today is the amazing Barrington Irving. I'm so excited to have you here.
Glad to be here.
Barrington has been in aviation for quite a while. He's made his mark already. One of the most astounding things that he's done is at the age of 23 years old.
Yeah.
You circumnavigated the globe in an airplane that you built. That's like stupid crazy.
It is stupid crazy. And my mom probably has even better words to use. But yeah, it's never know where life will take you in aviation. Yeah.
So at 23, what made you want to take that step?
You know, I didn't know I'd be setting any records, you know, when I was preparing to fly around the world. And how the concept came to be is I was introduced to aviation by a United Airlines pilot. So I saw this guy driving this nice car, driving this, you know, wearing this uniform, had a nice watch on. I'm like, man, what does this dude do, you know? And he saw that I was staring at him. He approached me and said, "Hey, son, have you ever thought about becoming a pilot?" And the first words out of my mouth, I said, "Sir, I don't think I'm smart enough to fly an airplane." So I asked him one question. That question was, "How much money do you make?" And after he answered it, I took an interest in aviation right then and there. So he's the same gentleman where after I started earning my pilot's licenses, he challenged me to give back the same way he gave to me.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what that meant. I said to him, "I don't have any money to give. What do you want? What do you mean give back?" He's like, "No, son, I want you to share your time, share your knowledge, share your experiences." And I said, "What if I flew around the world just to inspire a whole bunch of kids at one time, and that would be it?" Then I found out about setting Guinness World Records and really understood how difficult it would be. But I just have this competitive personality that, you know, and I said it, and I said, "That's what I'm going to do." So now I have to do it. And for 2.5 years, people told me no. And I, you know.
Don't tell you no.
Yeah, to tell you no, and I didn't give up on my dream, and I'll never forget sitting down on my bedroom floor saying to myself, "I need an airplane. I can't get anyone to rent me a plane. Let me borrow one." And that's when I thought to myself, well, when people steal cars, what do they do with them? They bring them into my neighborhood, strip all the parts of the car, and illegally sell it. I knew nothing about OEMs, right?
Uh-huh.
Original equipment manufacturers. I said, well, if different people make different parts of a car, I wonder if different people manufacture different parts of a plane.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, that was the case. And I approached 42 different companies, one by one.
And they sold you a piece of the airplane.
Yeah, instead of asking them for money, I simply asked them for the one part they made. And I'm grateful to those companies.
Wow.
That's how special aviation is. Really a space where when you want to become innovative, you can.
Yeah. So that's actually an important lesson for all you guys out there. Ask.
Yeah.
Just ask for help. People are willing to help. All you have to do is ask.
Ask and also deal with rejection. You know, before I started to ask, I was rejected for 2.5 years. You know, most people would have given up after 2.5 months.
Well, that's a part of life, being rejected. Everybody goes through that.
Yes.
It's what you do with it and afterwards.
100%. And sometimes it's just not your time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's there are different complexities that takes place. And a lot of folks who told me no, they were right. You know, I didn't have a real plan together. I was kind of feeling it out as I went. And it made me better.
So you spend a lot of time working. So development is a passion of yours, just like it's a passion of mine.
Yes.
And you spend a lot of your time working with younger people. Why working with young people?
I think it's one of the most rewarding things when you can impact someone and literally see the trajectory of their life change. So, of course, let me tell you and be honest about this. After I flew around the world, I'm like, okay, it's my turn to make money, right? I didn't get paid to fly around the world, and I was ready to join the industry, and I'm like, it's my time to make money. But then a school teacher wrote in a letter to my team that I read, and she thanked me for inspiring students, but she begged me to empower them. And that's what got me really thinking. That got me really thinking around, okay, what could I do to create the next Barringtons of the world? And I did a project where we took 60 kids from failing schools and got them together to build an airplane from scratch. And I flew it. So that kind of launched me into the education space.
Yeah.
Then we were getting kids to build cars faster than Ferraris and do all types of things. And by the time I was 30, 32, I felt like a grandfather. You know, I started seeing these young people graduate high school, pursue different aspects of STEM, pursue aviation. And I just kept on growing it from there. And of course, during this time, you know, these are great things to do, but I also had to figure out, you know, I have a family, I have triplets, you know, so I'm thinking, okay, what can I do? So I really started to launch myself into the education space. And that was interesting because I was looking at companies who hired me to do different things. And I said, you know what, I think I could build a team and do this on my own. So we created the Flying Classroom. And that just caught wildfire and sold over 3 million licenses across the country because I took the things I was passionate about, education and aviation and just exploring, made something of it, and, and then, you know, success built upon success.
So finding what it is that you're passionate about and not stopping. Just keep on going, even though you're going to have the no's. You're going to have the rejection.
Oh, absolutely.
Just keep going.
I mean, the most hilarious thing to me is I hated school, but I own an education company, right? I the reason why I didn't like school because I didn't see purpose in it. I had to do it. Like my parents, you know, they came as immigrants to this country from Jamaica. And, you know, I love playing football, and I was pretty good at it. Played for a high school here in Miami. I was ranked number one in the country at the time. And I'm saying, okay, this is what I want to do. And I really didn't see much purpose when I was in school. It wasn't until after I graduated and started to fly airplanes, all the math and the science and the literacy and communication, these things you simultaneously made sense, but fragmented, they had no real purpose to me.
Well, and I think that's a big element in education that is missing is putting what they're learning into context.
Yes.
How is it going to be relative to you?
Yes, and that's what my company does in Flying Classroom. I literally pack up my airplane with explorers and equipment. We travel to different parts of the world, different parts of the United States, and we bring to life the things kids have to learn.
Yeah. So in aviation, I mean, so looking at the workforce, we know that in a couple of years, we're already have a deficit. It's going to keep going. It's not going to get any better. So we have to start young. We have to start early, getting people into aviation. What are some of the biggest challenges you found relating to the children and getting them excited about aviation?
I mean, first and foremost, people don't understand the message because we haven't done well communicating the message. It's like when I got interested in aviation, it wasn't because I saw an airplane. It's because I saw what a guy was driving and the way he looked and how sharp he was. And I'm picturing what the quality of my life can look like if I pursued this field. I didn't know Boeing, Airbus, I didn't know any of this stuff, right? I think our messaging in aviation needs to change, and I think we need to build a culture around it. I mean, think about it. Several years ago, there was this foreign concept that these guys came together and created around coding. they knew that they would need people to code.
Mm-hmm.
So what do? They built a culture around it. You got moms who code, you know, all types of people who code. They understand the concept of culture. Our aviation industry doesn't understand that.
So what do we need to do to start creating that?
I think part of what we need to do is make it accessible.
Yeah.
Right? We need to make it accessible, but we also need to have storylines that everyday people can identify with.
Exactly.
We don't talk about compensation in aviation. We don't talk about benefits. We don't talk about, this is such a great, wonderful professional environment, but sometimes that works against you because we're so polished, we're so professional, we're so stoic.
Yeah.
We don't make it easy or fun or accessible for people to be part of this community.
Yeah.
It's awkward.
It's weird because there is, and I'm not from the aviation world, even though I work in aviation. Mm-hmm. My background is more on leadership development and behavior change. But from what I've seen, it's it's this delicate balance between rigid structure and then innovation.
Yes.
And experimentation and some of that risk taking. And it's they're almost positioned
yes.
against each other. So they need to actually work in sync.
Yep. I mean, don't get me wrong. I see aviation as a professional environment, a mm-hmm. safe environment. Mm-hmm. It's not something to take lightly. But part of what I've been doing the past 20 plus years is I've been saying to myself, how do I make this place a playground?
Yeah.
You know, how do you make this a playground where people are not only inspired, but they want to be part of it? And that's the part, aviation is so focused on metrics and points of return. Yeah, you can't even start talking about that stuff until you first start creating a culture. You know, there's a reason why I don't have a recruitment problem.
Mm-hmm.
No matter if it's in South Florida, no matter if it's New York or other places, because I understand the concept of culture mm-hmm. first. And second, experiences. What are the experiences we're giving?
So your students are called explorers.
Yes.
And you do that intentionally.
Yes.
Why?
Because I want to make it fun, and I want to make it an experience.
Yeah.
One of the most impressionable things in life is what we experience, or what we see, or what we hear,
mm-hmm.
activating those senses. It's not... Yes, you might see something amazing in a brochure or whatever the case may be.
But it doesn't touch you here. It
doesn't touch you here. We're still humans. I don't care how much technology we have.
Yeah.
We're humans. It's the same concept like selling an airplane. Think about that. We can sell private jets that cost $100 million, $75 million, whatever the case may be. And part of the process in selling that aircraft is the experience from what you smell.
Yeah.
When you get inside the plane, from what you see to how ergonomic things are and how you mm-hmm. feel.
And imagining yourself actually Correct. Flying it.
We need to reverse engineer that for people.
Yeah.
Not just products. We yes. have to reverse engineer it for people.
And I think that that's true for like on the job too.
Yes.
You know, when you're sitting there working on the plane, what's exciting about that? Why are you doing that? You know, what's the tapping into the heart and the passion of it?
I know there are a lot of folks who will say this generation don't want to work,
yeah.
you know, or this generation don't want to do X, Y, and Z. It's not that. You've got to give purpose, and we confuse projects, planning, and purpose. They get confused a lot of times in different ecosystems, and we look at purpose after the fact when it's actually number one or number two.
Yeah.
That's what we don't understand.
It's the starting point.
Yes.
Yeah.
We get kids to build airplanes and race cars and solar go-karts and boats and all types of stuff. Never once has a child asked me how much math or science do they need to learn.
They just do it.
But why? Because they're sold.
Yeah.
We don't understand the concept of selling someone first.
And that's, as a leader in any organization, That's part of your role.
Yes.
You have to, and so that's how you motivate people. You don't just give them a task. This is why we have to do it. This is why we have to do it this way. This is the purpose for this. This is why it's important for you.
And it speaks to why we're not getting the results, because it's hard.
Yeah, it is hard. Yeah.
It is hard. I mean, there's only so many people we can pull from colleges and universities. There's only so many.
Mm-hmm.
The problem aviation really has to look at themselves in the mirror and ask is, how do I take people from general population, upskill them, and get them into the space? Because there are more than enough of them.
Right.
That's the real question. And until we're brave enough to not only ask that question, but want to do something real about it.
Yeah.
Notice I said real. Because we've already had several years of throwing money at the problem. We've already had several years of doing X, Y, and Z at the problem. Until we get that done, forget it.
Well, and understand, it's not going to be a one and done. It's not just throw money at it and boom, it should be fixed. It's going to be a long-term thing, and that's development. It's not just an event. It's a process.
Oh, big time. There's so many factors. How many teachers in schools, K through 12 schools, know about careers within mm-hmm. aviation? I speak at right. a lot of education conferences, and every now and again I'll meet someone who'll say, hey, my brother's a pilot, or my brother or my sister is an aircraft mechanic. It happens every so often, but then I'll ask them this question, do you actually, so they're looking at me in amazement after I speak, but I'll ask them the question, do you actually know what they do?
Right.
Right, these are yeah. people who could become ambassadors for us in the field.
Well, and I think that's another thing that we're not very good at is really plotting out career pathways.
Yeah.
You know, just because you step in as a mechanic, if that's what you want to do and if that's what you love, God bless you. If you want to grow and do more, there's plenty of opportunities. There's plenty of routes to go.
But all of that is tribal knowledge.
Yeah.
Now, there are. I will say this. There are some organizations that's doing more. Right, so you have AOPA out in schools, EAA, mm-hmm. what they're doing, mm-hmm. you know, with flights. You have smaller organizations that's not only doing flights, but they're providing different experiences, you know, around that. But industry, let me, you know, one thing I've noticed with the aviation industry versus automotive industry, the automotive industry puts in real money to this problem, but with very high expectations from a marketing perspective, an appeal perspective. You know, I just went to an auto show the other day, and what did they have driving around? You know, scat packs and all this, all the things that relates to young people yep. and becomes part of like their culture. Aviation just haven't figured that out yet.
You have to be strategic about what you're doing. It's yes. not just throwing money, it's not just having, you know, doing marketing, it's why are you doing this? Who are you trying to reach?
Yes.
What's the message that yes. you said before that you're trying to put out there?
Yeah.
And I don't think we're even clear what the message is.
We're not. We know what we need. We know what we like to complain about.
Mm-hmm.
But the hard part is, okay, what's he going to do to solve it?
Yeah. Yep.
It's the hard part.
And there's answers.
There is.
It's not. They're and not easy, but there's answers.
They're not easy. And there are things you can try and fail and test.
Mm-hmm.
But why do we have the attrition we have? At some point, there's only so many people we can blame. You know, after
that is so true.
At
yes.
some point, there's only so many people you can blame.
Yeah. You got to start looking at yourself.
Yeah, and your team and your company and so forth.
Yeah, so we need to start looking inward, not only industry-wide, but I think individually too. You know, so as a leader in the organization, why does that organization have that kind of attrition? What am I doing about it? What can I do differently? Instead of like just pointing fingers.
And some folks just need to be honest about it. I mean, look, mm-hmm. we have tons of problems in education. And part of the reason why we have problems within education, because we have a bunch of adults who are involved in a space where they're financially secure. I'm not talking about school teachers. I'm talking about leaders
yeah.
who, when's the last time they've actually ever gone into a classroom? When's the last time have they ever taught a lesson? So part of the disjointedness is that we have people trying to solve problems they really have no expertise in trying to solve.
Right.
That's part of the challenge.
Or they can't even relate to the individuals that they're trying to help.
Yeah. I mean, we get a chance to work with different partners. And one of the first things we ask is, what are your real problems? It's a big challenge for folks within aviation just to openly share what their real issues are with new hires or folks that's been with the company 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, or what competencies should they be? Like, what are the real issues, right? Some of the real issues are people can't read anymore, or their reading comprehension sucks.
Yeah.
That's a real issue.
Or they don't speak the language.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a real issue.
Yeah.
You know, but we like to kind of skirt around these things because internally we don't have solutions for it, which is why partnerships are important. I just look at this from a different aspect. I think a lot of, solving a lot of these problems will come from outsiders. I believe that.
Yeah, I think so too. And being open and willing to try to do something different.
Yes.
We're a very traditional industry.
Yes.
And we're doing something different. It's like, oh, we can't. Everything's written down. We have to do exactly as this is, but we have to be open to maybe there's a different approach.
I love this industry.
Yeah.
This industry took me that had three holes in the bottom of my shoes, and I've realized the American dream thanks to aviation. But the rest of the world doesn't understand that, meaning not my story, but how this industry can change your life.
Yeah.
It's back to my example of coding. You got parents who code. Why do they have their kids in these programs? They're not experts, but the message has been clearly communicated how this can transform the quality of your life.
And I think something that's absolutely beautiful about this industry, and it's part of the culture, is that it is a small industry. As big as it is, it's a small industry. And the familial connections that are made in this industry are forever.
Oh, big
and
time.
And they're very strong.
Big time. You know, I'll give you an example. We have some candidates who, they're getting their second chance in life, right? They come out of the justice system. And I'm, you know, grateful Extreme Aviation is one of them that gave them a chance and changed a kid's life.
Yeah.
How many people out there know that that's even an opportunity or possibility through our industry?
Right.
No one does.
They don't, right.
They don't know. And that's what I mean when part of the messaging, we're not short of people, we're short of competency.
Yeah. Oh, 1,000% there.
That's where we're short. It's competency.
Yeah.
That's what we're missing. People don't like to have that discussion, but I do.
You know what? And that's part of why we're doing this podcast, because uncomfortable conversations have to be put out there. There's not going to be any change until we start having conversation. And that's why this is so important to do.
Yes.
Yeah. So for all of you folks out there who might be interested in the industry and you think, well, that's not really for me, there's evidence, and right here is a perfect example of you can come from anywhere and this can be your home. And it's an excellent career.
I was just interviewing a young lady today who wants to join our team. So internally, we have 72, 73 team members internally. And aviation is such a great fit, right? Because we have a different generation. They don't want to do the same thing every single day.
Yeah.
Which is actually a gift.
It's perfect industry for
it. It's a real gift, right?
Yeah.
It's a perfect industry for it. They're looking for dynamic experiences and so forth. And what you have to figure out is, it's like you're a movie producer. And you're producing the experiences, even though some of that production is determined by your customers and their deadlines and what they want and so forth. But there are really some amazing experiences in these fields where you have different challenges every day.
We talked a little bit ago about how we're dealing with people. Mm-hmm. I think culturally the concept within an organization is my job is the plane. Your job as a leader is not the plane. Your job is the people. The people will take care of the plane. Your job is to help them engage in the process, help them learn, help them grow, develop, help spark that motivation and that passion for them.
100%. I couldn't agree more with that statement. People is everything.
Yeah.
And not only is people everything, the experiences they have means a lot to them. You know, we laugh at companies in Silicon Valley that has bean bags and you know, all of these different things set up for individuals, but they understand experience. They understand you know, real world aspect of things and what employees need and team members need. It's a very real thing.
Mm-hmm. So if you were to give some advice to a leader in any organization and they were having some problems relating to some of their younger employees, what advice would you give them?
Be honest with yourself. Look at the military. Who do they send to recruit people? They don't send an old guy in an old suit to go recruit people.
Mm-hmm.
They send the young people that will identify with the folks that they're trying to attract.
Yeah.
That's who they send.
Right.
We have to break that mold. You know, there's a reason why, for example, within certain audiences, I don't wear a business suit.
Yeah.
Aviation is already intimidating enough. Right?
Yep. It's
sometimes I laugh, right? Because you'll have companies who put together an outreach event and, you know, in their mind, they're thinking, okay, we want to do something kind and nice and host people at a really nice, fancy restaurant. And so you just lost your audience.
Exactly. Yeah.
Some people just want pizza and a beer, right?
Yes.
You know, that's it. You just lost your audience. And I think leaders have to be honest, not only with their capability, but also with their team's capability.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the reason why we've been finding success, because a lot of folks have just admitted to us and said, we don't know how to address this problem. We just don't know, mm-hmm. right? And we need other entities to come in and to handle it. Now, I know the world is driven by money and revenue. And that's what makes this country amazing, free enterprise. But on both sides, when we stop looking at funding streams and funding mechanisms to a certain point and actually start paying attention to the milestones and the results, like real results, placement, proper training, onboarding,
yeah.
We really start looking at it, because there's some fundamental issues too on the academic side.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't just a corporate problem.
Right.
There's some real fundamental issues on the academic side and some dirty secrets that's just not being discussed, where, you know, I feel as if we're passing the ball down to the next person, right? Industry is saying, okay, the colleges will deal with it. How?
Mm-hmm.
They can't do it alone. They need help from industry.
Yeah.
Right? They also need help recruiting.
Yeah.
College is, when you look at a lot of technical programs, not only aviation, the average class size is 5 to 10 kids. Right? So we have to be very realistic,
mm-hmm.
and have a realistic understanding of what's taking place. And that's part of the reason why I was like, you know what? I just want to work with industry. Of course, we have collaborations with schools, no question. But I want to work with industry, and I want to practically figure this out and this whole thing driven by industry. And that's what we've done with our partners. It's driven by industry.
Yeah. So be honest. Understand the capabilities of yourself and your team.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, they're quick to provide an answer, and they will never admit they don't know what the answer is. And then sometimes we do things to fulfill that answer that is more self-pleasing to us than to actually address the problem.
So how often do you, if you don't know the answer, do you bring the kids in?
Oh, big time.
And say, okay, what do you guys think?
All the time.
Yeah.
So, my K through 12 curriculum company, I remember the first 5-7 years, I wouldn't tell people who my evaluators were for lessons being sold to school districts across the country. Yes, we had academic professionals involved, but you know who our evaluators were? Whose opinion mattered the most?
The kids.
The kids.
Yeah.
It's sometimes your customer has the answer, even though the customer doesn't know what they want.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Sometimes you have to kind of like guide them towards what they want.
Correct.
But they still have the answers.
Correct.
Yeah.
They just don't know. It's the same thing. Like within our industry and trying to tackle this, we don't necessarily know what to do. Mm-hmm. But how much time do they spend? How much time do these companies spend talking to the population of who they're trying to recruit? I'm not talking about events.
Yeah.
I'm talking about real thought-leading conversation with individuals who may or may not come into our industry.
And listen.
And listen.
Don't just talk at them. Listen.
Yeah, listen. And get roasted and take the criticism for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we can't do that. We're too professional for that.
I don't know. I get roasted pretty often, so...
But you know what I mean? I mean, I'm a blunt person. I mean, I'm very calm, relaxed. But when it comes time to play and to do what you got to do, I'm a blunt person. And we just have to come to that reality. And I, don't get me wrong, everyone's heart is in the right place. Everyone's heart is in the right place in our industry.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the problem.
Mm-mm.
The problem is the strategy to solving it. It's just discombobulated.
Yeah.
It's just become discombobulated.
And that's why I think as an industry overall, we need to, one, get clear on the message, and then understand who we need outreach to and where they're at. Because although you may have started where they're at, you're at a different level now.
In a different time.
Right. Yeah. So, like you said, look at yourself, be honest with yourself. You may not be the best person to deliver that message. You might have to pull somebody else in.
Absolutely.
Or you might just have to sit there and ask them, so what do you want?
You know how many companies I get a chance to visit? And one of the things I like to do is tour the shop floor.
Uh-huh.
You have people who are willing inside of a company to actually go out and do outreach that are totally overlooked.
Yep. And those are the best people to do it.
Those are some of the best people. They know the realities of what's going on. They know the complex problem. They know what day-to-day really looks like, and we overlook them.
And if you're afraid to send them out there, then you need to start looking at your organization itself.
Absolutely. Yes. Because I get it. Oh, well, that's one of my best workers. I don't want to lose him on the floor.
Or he'll be so negative.
Yeah. You know, oh, this person might be a little bit too honest.
Yeah.
You know, with how challenging it is. Remember the question I asked the guy who introduced me to aviation? How much money do you make?
Yeah.
It wasn't because I was a financial expert. I was trying to understand what the quality of my life could look like.
Yeah.
There is nothing. These are hard jobs.
Very hard, yes.
These are very difficult jobs, and there's no shame in saying that. Sometimes you're out working in the sun, sometimes it's thunderstorming, mm-hmm. sometimes it's freezing cold. There's no shame in saying that. Or sometimes it's stressful and we have a last-minute deadline we mm-hmm. need to execute. But once again, how do you wrap an experience around that? How do you have positivity around it? And as a leader, you have to be the best example of that.
Right.
Even for me, I'll never forget this. There was one time we had team members who got sick and... we had to do, different presentations. Here I am, the owner of the company. I wasn't too prideful to sit down, get in front of a Zoom, talk to hundreds and thousands of kids, and do an actual lesson with them.
Mm-hmm.
As leaders, there are times where we have to humble ourselves. And really, to have that mental perspective, you have to put yourself in that position.
But you also have to look at what's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And having that conversation with those kids at that point in time, that was the top priority.
I used to tell teachers this all the time when we do teacher trainings. Kids are very good at telling who's full of crap and who's the real deal.
Yeah.
Like kids
see
right are very, kids are very, they're like pets, right? You know,
you can't pull one over on them.
They can really tell who's genuine and who's not. Not in all cases, but most of the time they can. And we undervalue that.
Yeah.
We undervalue that. We really have to say, why is the company struggling? And then the other challenge our industry has is they want 100 people now. They want 300 people now. It's not going to work. I don't know any other way to say it. It's not going to work. We took the approach of doing, 15 at a time, 20 at a time. And folks are like, well, how are you going to make that scalable? How are you going to? Yeah, you know how? My folks are staying.
Yeah.
My folks are staying at where they work. Because our industry is so driven by massive numbers, metrics, and so forth, we're always trying to have one bullet that can take out multiple enemies. This is a problem that we have to methodically, and in my opinion, slowly attack.
Yep. And it's not going to happen overnight.
No, because I know when I'm working with 15 to 20 at a time, it's exclusive.
Yeah. But so what you're talking about, though, is for them to stay, that's retention.
Correct.
So again, culture, that's a culture shift.
Yeah.
If your retention numbers are not there, it's not the employee's fault. So again, you have to stop and look and be honest.
Yes.
About what's going on here. Be willing to understand that, again, it's not all about the profits. The profits are important. And what you were talking about before is we got this project to do, we have to make money. But if you focus on what's really important, you focus on developing your people, you focus on motivating them, you focus on making it an environment that they want to stay in, the profits are going to be there. You can't get away from the profits not being there.
When you compare apprenticeship programs and internship programs with smaller MRO operations, versus larger operations, the results are actually very eye-popping with the results that they're getting. Now, granted, the smaller shops, they might have issues because they can't afford to pay an extremely high salary.
Right.
But it's quite interesting to see the results. It's not just me that's seeing it, right? You have different MROs out there where they have pre-apprenticeship and they're doing it small scale and they're putting in the investment, the time, and so forth, and they're getting the result, better results than just randomly. You know, we think this is something that recruiters and talent acquisition folks are going to solve. Yes, they have a role. They certainly have a role. But it's going to take a lot more than that, and we have to be as eager as we are. We also have to have some level of patience. An investment. I hear folks all the time, we want experienced people. We want experienced people. We want...
So give them the experience.
It's been 3-5 years later. Yeah. We want experienced people. You know how many experienced people you could have had if you would have made the proper investment and structured and just spend 18 to 24 months really cultivating them the way you want?
Yeah.
Yes.
The investment is in the people.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. It's in the people and the experiences that the people have.
So if there's one piece of advice that you would give out there to anybody in the industry to help change and understand the future workforce, what would that be?
If you can't sell your own kids on it, if you can't sell someone on it, start over. Simple as that. Fail quickly, test things, fail quickly, pivot, and build.
So what is it that they should be selling?
They should be selling the careers. They should be selling the experience. They should, like, there are practical ways to test this. You don't have to hire XYZ agency to do all these crazy things. Start with your own kids that are teenagers. Why aren't they not interested? I'm not saying they need to be.
Right.
But start, why? Okay, someone is leaving you. You know how many companies I talk to, And I said, okay, you have high attrition. Why are they leaving? Oh, we don't know. Because you're upset that they're leaving. They never took the time to even understand.
Right.
Why are they leaving?
Well, they should take the time to understand their experience long before they leave.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. It's, yeah. I mean, there's a difference if you're a company and you made the conscious decision that I don't have the bandwidth or infrastructure to attack this problem internally.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next step is, okay, how do I align with the right partners or the right folks? And that's part of what we do. But there has to be that realistic conversation, because just having career fairs at your facility ain't gonna do it.
Right, no.
Right, that it's not gonna do it. Just yeah. having the, there's a, and what we're finding with our partners, there's community benefit. Right? Not just having general impact in the community, but guess what? Now elected officials pay more attention to what's going on. The very same elected officials that are making decisions for your company and the staff within it. Are we able to grow here? Or are we able to do this? Or are we able to pull federal funding?
Mm-hmm.
We don't realize the ecosystem that you can actually create around this.
And the community.
And community.
The outreach isn't for your benefit, it's for the community's benefit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, when it comes to being a technician and so forth and selling young people on it, we have the hard part, which is the product. We have the planes. We have the massive engines. We have all the things that young people would be fascinated by or interested, but we also have to remember it's intimidating. It's intimidating.
It is.
You know, we want to see people who look like me, or we want to see people that can relate.
It all goes back to relationship. It all goes back to people.
Yes.
And that's the simplest thing in the world.
Yes.
Also one of the hardest.
It is. Because people are complex beings. And that's the reality of what we deal with. My greatest concern is aviation, as each year passes by, we're losing leverage to the automotive industry. We're losing leverage to even the marina industry.
Mm-hmm.
We're losing leverage to manufacturing. We're losing. We had the best of the best, because we had rockets, space shuttles, airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
We had that. We had that for a generation. And we're losing the appeal of that.
Yeah. So I think some of the takeaways that I got from our conversation today, we went like all over the place, but I think it all kind of boils down to understanding that we're dealing with people. It doesn't matter how old, how young they are, we're dealing with people. And to get some of the younger people interested, we have to show them that purpose and that pathway.
Yeah.
And understand our message.
And purpose, pathway, and attainability.
Oh, that's a good point, too. Yeah,
we have a big problem with attainability. I could be excited and say, I want to be a technician. I could be excited and say, I want to be a pilot. The attainability portion is very complicated.
Yeah.
The good thing is, for our industry, there are multiple ways of doing it.
Yes.
But we don't have multiple messages.
Yes, that's it.
That's the problem. The attainability is such a... It's a crippling factor. Whether you have a degree or don't have a degree, such a crippling factor past those 2 points.
Yeah. But there's a way. There is a way. 100%.
I love this industry. To any young person listening to this, this is one of few industries left where you can have the American dream. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. That means a lot. There are industries now with technology coming in and so forth.
Yeah.
The American dream is dwindling for them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of few industries where you can be an amazing citizen, have the American dream, grow a family, have something sustainable, but that message isn't communicated.
And the need for people in this industry is going to keep growing and growing. It's not going to stop.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not going to stop, and I think my other concern is the quality of people we're desperate to just bring in.
And Yeah,
that's gonna dilute a lot of things.
Yeah,
and so think about you didn't spend the time to build a culture. Yeah, you're bringing in people who have no identity with the culture. You're losing the fragment
right.
of the industry. Like you're, right. the fabric, I should say, not fragment. You're losing the fabric of the industry.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm really, it's an honor for me to have you here. So
I mean, these are real discussions industry should be having, and sometimes everything can't be quantified in an Excel spreadsheet.
Right, right.
You know, human ingenuity is something that is difficult. Human will and human ingenuity is hard to quantify on a sheet of paper.
It is, and it's hard to measure. And I think that's part of why we haven't invested so much into it, is because we can't measure it.
Correct.
But we can't look immediately at the measurement. We look at the long tail.
I'll leave you with one other thing.
Yes.
That I'd like to share with educators, because they'll say, you know, we just can't figure out how to engage kids and stuff. And I used to say to them, hold on, let me get this straight. You went to school for 4 years, 8 years, 10 years to figure this out. Yet still, cell phone companies, apparel companies, and everyone else hasn't figured out how to engage young people. That's the tenacity of mindset leaders need to have in our industry. Why the heck can't we figure it out?
Right.
That's it.
Yeah. Instead of just saying, hey, it's that generation's issue. It's not their issue.
No.
It's ours.
100%.
Yeah. Thank you again. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
And thank you out there. I'm so glad to have you here listening with us. And if you like what you heard, please share and follow. Till next time, talk with you later. Bye.